You're listening to All Things Considered on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Claire Roth. WOSU has a project we call Curious Seabus, where listeners send us their questions about the region, and we do our best to find an answer. We recently got one from Caitlin McGurk, who lives in Clintonville. Every day on her way into work, she passes a sign on High Street in the Old North.
It says, Redmen, Sioux Tribe, number 128. And I think I first noticed it when I was admiring the kind of mid-century modern look of the Sprite sign that has now been destroyed.
Yeah, that's right beneath it.
Yeah. But I've always wondered what this was.
So I went inside the building, set back behind a parking lot, and got a tour from lodge manager Seth Golding. He says it's the home of a century-old social group, where men and women come to throw darts, play pool, and have a few drinks. A bar runs the length of the room with a mirrored backsplash, reflecting memorabilia that depict American Indians on the opposite wall.
I think it's a framed blacklight poster. Pretty cool, huh? And we just have various Native American artwork. We are totally, you know, we honor Native Americans. You know, I think our name, some people think is, like the Cleveland Indians or the Washington Redskins.
McGurk is one of those skeptical of the name.
Last time I checked, indigenous peoples had not embraced the term red men. So I can only assume that this is something racist or rooted in racism. Why is it still here?
Golding says its roots aren't in racism, but in the Sons of Liberty in 1765.
And they patterned themselves then after the Great Iroquois Confederacy. And that's where they dressed up as Indians for the Boston Tea Party. And then after the American Revolution, the name was changed to the Society of Redmen, and they kept the Indian customs.
Membership rose in the 19th century and declined in the 20th. In 2011, the national headquarters in Waco put the number at a little more than 15,000 nationwide. Golding says it's similar to fraternal organizations like the Moose or the Elk, though he keeps tight-lipped about their meetings and rituals.
It's a secret society, so I am limited there, but it would be the same probably as the Freemasons, which I've always wondered what goes on there, you know. But it's a lot of a symbolism with the Native Americans, and all extremely respectful and honoring them. It's not a religion by any means, but it's just a club that uses Indian or Native American imagery and to honor them.
How do you respond to people that are critical of that, who say, you know, back in revolutionary times, we weren't as cognizant about some of the struggles Native Americans faced and how mimicking their culture can undercut them? What do you say to people that say that's not appropriate anymore?
Well, first of all, I'd have to say I didn't name the club. You know, I can see in today's culture where things are extremely, politically correct, that it has maybe become a problem to some. So if we've developed to a climate where we all have to walk on eggshells to honor somebody, well, that's just the way it is.
I reached out to six organizations that advocate for or study the history of American Indians. Only one got back to me, declining to comment because they, quote, do not want to take any action that would give such groups further visibility. That lack of visibility is, in some ways, what defines the quote-unquote secret society. With just 65 members, Golding recognizes the mystery that surrounds the club.
Because it is a sort of a enigma sitting here back from High Street. Old building looks like we've been called, you know, everything from, well, I thought it was a haunted house to, you know, it's a neat old building. But, yeah, it's sort of a blast from the past, and we're just keeping it going and having a good time.